You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So this new paper in the journal Science has looked at the consequences of countries with really high meat diets. Would you be able to just give us, distill the findings of this paper for us?
Yep, sure. Well, the recent Science paper has really confirmed what we probably already knew, is that if you eat too much meat, it can be unhealthy for you in terms of potential heart disease and colon cancers and such like, and that's strongly linked with a meat diet. But it also showed that the environmental impacts of producing meat are pretty high in terms of greenhouse gas emissions for a kilogram of meat that you would eat compared with eating vegetable foods, and also the water and the land degradation are also linked, as well as biodiversity, are all linked with meat production. So in terms of the greenhouse gases, which is my main area, I'm not a doctor, so the actual health issues we know about, but I'm not specializing in that area. But in terms of the greenhouse gases, we know that the whole food supply chain of the world involves about 32% of the end-use energy. That's including producing the food and transporting, processing and cooking it. And that relates to 22% of total greenhouse gas emissions. And we know that if we're going to sign and meet the Paris Agreement and stay below 2 degrees centigrade temperature rise, then the food sector has to play its part. And meat is a main producer of those greenhouse gas emissions, particularly from ruminant animals, sheep and beef, like we grow in New Zealand, for animal protein as well as meat protein. And those animals are producing methane at the same time as they're digesting their food, their pasture, whatever, and that's adding to the greenhouse gases.
Yeah, and in this article as well, it points out that as countries, you know, and economies get richer, the diet often moves to more meat and dairy-based products. And it's even got projections saying that meat consumption could double by 2050. And what kind of impact would, you know, a doubling of the meat consumption in the world have on the world's environment?
Well, this is the real conflict, and it was Barack Obama who summed it up nicely just a few months ago when he said we've got to solve the problem of feeding the billions of people on the planet, and we know we need something like 70% more food by 2050 because of growing population and growing meat demand and protein demand and such like. So we've got to feed the billions of people without destroying the planet in the process. And they were key words, really. So the whole of food production as we know it now is actually a very unsustainable process. I've just written a whole paper on this for an international audience. And the issues are putting nutrients in one end, feeding in fresh water. 70% of water extraction goes into the agricultural production processing system. And at the same time, loads of fossil fuels are going in there as well. And then all the nutrients are ending up, we fail to consume one-third of the food we produce. The nutrients end up in the sewage systems and the landfills, and then we pour more phosphate and nitrogen in the top end again. And so all of that, when you look at it, is totally unsustainable. So we've got to turn it around, look at it as what we call a circular economy, recycle water, get it into renewable energy, recycle the nutrients, and at the same time move away from a meat diet. And that's the real challenge, because that requires consumer change. But if people realize that they're healthier by eating less meat, and they're doing good things for the planet too, reducing their carbon footprint, then maybe we can get that trend there.
And in this review, they cite that a place like Denmark, they've actually put higher taxes on meat, and they've seen a reduced consumption. But I was wondering, are there better ways out there than just to tax things more? Like, how do we kind of respect individual autonomy, or, you know, without resorting to taxes?
Yeah, no, that's right. Taxes is one way to get a message across, but it's really education to let people understand the good things and the bad things about nutritious food. And we know that there's obesity problems in New Zealand. We know that there's fast food that are being consumed far greater degree than what they should. We also know there's a lot of substitutes coming on stream fairly rapidly. We've had, if you go to restaurants now, then every restaurant you go to has got a vegetarian option, which wasn't the case 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and we know that there's a greater interest in vegetarianism. I'm a reductarian, which means I still eat a little bit of meat and milk products, but I use less, consume less than what I used to in the past, so I haven't become a full vegetarian. But I'm, for my health reasons and animal welfare reasons and planetary reasons, then I'm a very low consumer of meat now, as is my wife and family. But in New Zealand, we can buy chicken that's not chicken, that's made from pea protein. Elsewhere in the world, Air New Zealand was in the headlines in providing impossible food hamburgers on their Air New Zealand flights to the US, which are not made from meat. They're synthetic meat, and they taste like meat and look like meat, and they're very tasty. And they cook like meat, too. But there's not the meat in there. So there are substitutes coming on stream. Israel's just done a $300 million deal with China to provide synthetic meat across to the Chinese to supplement for the real meat. And this industry is growing very rapidly. So it's something that New Zealand farmers need to keep a lookout on, because if the world does change as rapidly as what some people think to a non-meat protein, non-animal protein, including milk products, a non-animal protein diet, then we need to be aware of it. There will still be niche markets that the New Zealand farmers should be looking towards for high-quality grass-fed beef as opposed to feedlot beef. But it, from a climate change point of view, a kilogram of beef or lamb probably produces 30 or 50 kilograms of CO2, of greenhouse gases, in its growth of that animal and looking after the animal for a year or two before it's slaughtered. So say 50 kilograms. Poultry and pigs, pork, are a lot less because they're monogastric animals. They don't produce the same amount of methane as the stomachs are digesting their food. So there may be around 10 kilograms, and fish is a lot lower too. But if you go to the vegetable proteins, then that's maybe 2 to 3 kilograms, and that's where the synthetic meat and the vegetarian diets and the chicken that's not chicken come in, because they've got a much lower carbon footprint.
A large part of this suggests a lower meat consumption, not really for like philosophical reasons, but for environmental reasons. And I was wondering, what kind of meat consumption level is sustainable for the planet?
Well, it varies. From a planetary point of view, it varies so much by cultures. I mean, if you're a member of the Maasai tribe in Kenya, then you're totally meat dependent, and there's no way we could expect those people there to move to a vegetarian diet, because for thousands of years they've produced and eaten their own meat. On the other hand, there are people who are eating meat three times a day, every day of their lives, and so, which are relatively short lives on average, I guess, if they're eating too much. So there's no simple answer to the question. It's just a case of making everybody aware that when meat is consumed, there is an environmental impact as a result. And it's water as well. There's a lot of water goes into keeping animals alive, and so there is into irrigating of crops as well to feed the animals, but also feed humans. But water shortages under climate change impacts could be something of the future to be aware about too. So it's really creating an awareness to say, look, there are other solutions for having good food, tasty food, and we don't need to eat meat all the time. So how much would be the optimum amount of meat is, well, very difficult to say. But like I say, everybody's got the chance to reduce, and rather than go to the extreme of not eating meat at all if they don't wish to do that.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Order.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.